Good morning, Innovation. Such an honor to be with you. Two things I'm going to say. That if you remove women from the church, you have removed 50% of the church. So that means if we ask every woman to leave this room, we would be stuck with you 20 men. Amen. And I'm telling you that the job is much larger for 20 men or 50 women. God is moving in the world. And your worship is awesome. If I can just encourage you, every one of you, can you just make it a habit to invite 5 people to church every week? Even if it's the same people and they don't ever come, invite them. Because what if one comes? We've already doubled this house. And not to fill this room, but to release what you get in this room, as that video said, and you take it out there, okay? So can you do that? That's your homework. You don't even have to write that down. I just pray God tattoo that in your mind, okay? And you won't forget about it. Well, my name is Esperanza. I have my daughter with me, Alicia. She travels with me, and we just have a good time serving the Lord. I love Billy and Mandy. I love what they're building here. You guys have been entrusted with 2 stellar leaders who really love the Lord, and we'll move a little bit more with them as I go on. I know that time now is going, so Billy, tell me when I need to stop, because Alicia's going to help me with that. The band comes up at 10, amen. And that is sure is a rocking band. I was back there, Janis Joplin was before Alicia's time, but I was playing a video for her. I go, that's Mandy. Mandy is the Christian Janis Joplin, amen. So anyway, okay, so I've got the honor of just walking us through Mary and Martha. That's found in Luke 10. Luke 10, And I want the men to hear this. This is not a message for women. This is a message if you have a heart. How many have a heart in here? Amen, and it's beating. Then this message is for you. This message is something that God wants to release to you. I'm going to read it really quickly. It said, now it happened when he, that means Jesus, entered a village. The village was called Bethany. Like, whenever I travel, I at least try to bring at least someone with me. When Jesus traveled, he at least brought 12 with him. Okay? So picture that in your mind. Jesus is walking through Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So when Martha invited Jesus, guess who else she invited? She invited the 12 disciples. So how many of you have had dinner at your house and you've got 2 people? What if 14 people showed up? How stressed and anxious would you be? You got to go clean the vents that no one's even going to look at. You've got to make sure that they're clean. So you've got a stressed out husband and a stressed out wife. And that's exactly the context that we find with Martha. Martha invited Jesus and 13 people show up. I'm just using my imagination in this, but I believe that's what happened. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus. So get this, Martha's running around trying to serve 13 people, and here comes Mary. Mary pulls up a chair, sits down, and then she got so comfortable, she moved the chair out of the way and sat on the floor at the feet of Jesus. So can you imagine how insulting that was? And the reason I say that it was insulting is because that wasn't the tradition back then. As a matter of fact, the only people that can sit at the feet of someone teaching was someone who was a man. You could only be a man to do that. As a matter of fact, in the context of that biblical time, women weren't allowed to be taught the word. It was just men. Only men could read what they called back then the Torah, the written word of God. Women weren't allowed to do that. You know, the place women had is in the kitchen. And if you travel down, I hope I don't offend anybody. I can only say this because I've been there. If you travel down a little bit south, you will find people who still believe that women belong in the kitchen. That's their place. So can you imagine unorthodox stance that Mary took sitting at the feet of Jesus, Martha is saying, who do you think you are? You're not a man. So it goes on to say that Martha was distracted with much serving. Of course, she was feeding a lot of people. She approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of this by myself? I'm running here and I'm running there, and she's sitting down and you're watching her. Don't you care about me? Don't you care about my self-care? And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. It's like how when you talk to your kids, you're like, Billy, Billy, Billy. You mean it when you call the name twice. And Jesus is saying, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. So it's interesting when Jesus speaks, I think sometimes he offers more questions than answers. He didn't answer Martha. He didn't answer the question she said. So, amen, amen. See, that's when you have, that's how I know Jesus is in the room. Amen. So Martha did what was culturally expected. And I want to speak to your heart. What are you doing that in your heart you know there's so much more, but you will sit in the box people put you in, and you won't break out of that box because this is just how it is. Every woman in, and I'm going to just name some scenarios. Every woman in our family gets divorced. Everybody in my family, we're all on welfare. Every man that the women get walks off, leaves the family vacant. Every man in my family, we're alcoholics. We do drugs. We vape. We rely on things. Because even though you might not be in Mary's context, you will have a context that will try to put you in a box because that's just the way it's been. What way has it been in your home? Your husband doesn't give you affection. He'll never change. That's the way he is. He talks to me like I'm not even a friend. My wife, all she does is nag. Please don't look at any spouses here. I'm talking about where you live, because this scripture put us in where Martha and Mary are living. What box has put you in a place where that's all you can believe God for? We'll never be debt-free. Nobody in my family is debt-free. We will just file bankruptcy like everybody else has done, like we always do. We'll file Chapter 13 like we always do. We'll go take a loan, we'll max our credit cards out, and we just won't pay it back like we did before. Because the Bible's introduced us into Mary's context, but God is saying, I love Innovation Church so much, I want to be in your context. Where is God calling you to do something out of tradition? It sure is quiet in this Catholic church. Amen. I can say that because I was Catholic. And I know how quiet it was. I do not mean to offend anybody. Okay. Sometimes when I speak, I have to say that. Amen. Okay. So Mary welcomed Jesus into her home. No, Martha welcomed Jesus and all the 12 disciples into the home. Said, come on in. Come on in to my little box that I've been living in. Mary invited Jesus into her heart. Mary invited Jesus into the familial system that was in place, into the pattern that this is the way we do it. This is how it's done. The women in the house, they're 30 years old, but they look like they're 70. Because they've been through the ringer. I'm at the age where there's a lot of high school reunions. Are you all at that age yet, or is it just me? Yeah. Ooh, wee. Yeah. And you get into these high school reunions, and these people look spent. Oh, my gosh. And they're like, man, you look great, and I say the same thing. It's just living right. It's just taking the word of God. Listen, the only part of the Bible that is going to work for you is the part that you believe. Not the part that Billy and Mandy come and they sing and they do a video. They could dance. They could learn hip hop. They can learn all these types of things. Put it up on this stage. But if you don't believe it, it will never work for you. You've got to believe what you read in the Word. Number one, let's start that. You got to read the Word. And then you believe. Amen. Amen, brother. Got a preacher in the making. Amen. So someone chose activity, and the other sister chose intimacy. This is a formula how to break out of your box. You've got to be intimate with the Lord. And for some of you, that might be weird, like intimate. What do you mean? Like Jesus is my boyfriend? Alicia and I were just talking about that. We were listening. Well, we've heard the women say, well, Jesus is my husband. I went on a date with Jesus. He's my boyfriend. And I'm like, they get so weird. That is so weird to me. I'm like, you please don't say that, because you're going to scare people and think Jesus is like really like weird. Jesus is not like that. Jesus is in my heart. And everywhere I go, I bring him with me. So when I go on a date by myself to Cracker Barrel or to a movies, the Lord is with me. So that means, I'm not chug-a-lugging, all the vodka in there, because Jesus is with me. And if I lose my mind, then how am I going to be a witness for Jesus? So verse 40 says, Martha was distracted by much serving. It's interesting when we live in a little box, how distracted we can be with everyday activities, doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's boring. Your marriage is boring because you're boring. Your house is boring because you're boring. Get out of the box. You've not been on a date night with your wife or girlfriend, whoever, go on a date. You don't have the money. You know what I used to do when I was a single parent many, many moons ago? My son wanted to go to the movies, but he wanted to go out to eat, and I didn't really have enough money to do both. So you know what I did? I went to Popeye's Chicken and got a bucket of chicken and put it in my bag. Then I went to the Dollar Show, because back then it was the 99-cent movie. And I went into the movie, and we sat and watched the movie that he wanted to watch, eating the chicken that I wanted. So what am I saying? You'll make it work. You'll make it work. Don't go on date nights because you don't have the money. Make it work. Go to the mall. Go window shopping. You know what my comfort is? Going to Sam's Club. I don't have to buy anything. I will go down every aisle of Sam's. I love there because they give you the latest gadgets. They got good prices on food. They got clothes. They've got TVs, electronics. That is my comfort place. I don't have to buy anything. I went shopping with Alicia. She was like, she must have ran around the whole Sam's Club in 5 minutes. She's, where are you at? I'm in line. I go, girl, I just got here. I haven't even had a chance to look around. You know what? That was free. Me and my husband, we can do that for free. So don't tell me that you can't come out of a box because you don't have money. Get creative. It's fall. Go down a highway and look at the trees turn colors. Amen. Go buy some apples. Go in your house. Smash them up. Get you some apple juice. And go down the highway and look at them leaves. You'll be in a fall harvest festival right there in your car. Amen. Invite a couple. Let them drive. Let them spend their gas. You sit in the back seat and go down there and look at them. Get creative. Get creative. You guys, for Pete's sake, you're in a church called Innovation. Innovate something. Come on. So her service became a substitute for fellowship. Martha chose to serve. But you know what? When you serve and you serve and you serve and you have no intimacy, you'll be burnt out. And I'll use the picture of a marriage to tell you that. If your husband goes to work, he comes home, he cuts the grass. He comes home and, you know, you're thinking, my husband don't cut no grass. Okay, well, he does something. He does everything but be intimate with you. And I'm not talking about the other intimacy. So I'm talking about, hey, honey, you're so beautiful. You know what? Man, thank you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you for just cleaning the house today. Thank you for dinner. Those sweet nothings, that means so much to a woman. And for men, you know, men want, even after that young man, even when they're 2 and 5 and 10 and 30 and 50, guess what? Men want honor. It's all they want is honor. They want you to speak to them like they're a human and that you really do honor them and that you really do like them. They just want honor. They just want to know that they're seen and they're heard. You know, they're like, do you know what I just did? I did the laundry. I did the cooking. I did this and I did that. And all your husband did was change a light bulb. And you're like, and I got to honor him. Yes, you should honor him. You have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. Oh, man, you guys are looking at me like, yeah, I know I'm stepping on some toes, but you know, it's not me. It's the Lord. Okay. Serving without sitting leads to burnout. And if you are in your home and all you do is serve and work and have activity, but you don't ever sit down at the table or you don't ever sit down in fellowship with your kids, with your spouse, maybe your parents live with you, with your parents, you will have burnout. You'll hate to come home. You'll be a picture of that family when the husband gets home. He sits in the driveway for 30 minutes before he gets into the house. This is not a Lifetime movie. This is reality. I know people that do that. I know people that will take the long way home just to make the time longer before they get into the house. When you serve without intimacy, you keep your family, yourself, your marriage in that box. The boldness of Mary's choice. Mary's posture was radical for her time. In first century Judaism, disciples sat at the feet of teachers. Women were expected to remain in the background, and I'll do all that for the sake of time. To sit at Jesus' feet is, number one, to sit and submit to his authority. If there's kids in the room, the Bible says, honor your mother and father. Goes on to say, you'll have a long life. It goes on to say, with joy. I used to be a prison chaplain. And in that prison were people doing 2 and 3 life sentences. They had a long life, but they had no joy. And I would hold myself back and not ask them, did you honor your mother and father? I'm curious. Because if you go Bible, the Bible says you'll have a long life, but with joy. So we can teach our kids, hey, it pays to listen to me. And for you kids who are children, you're still living in the house of your parents, it does pay to listen and obey them. Doesn't mean you agree with them. It just means you honor them and do what it takes for that peace in that home. So I'm looking at that clock. Jesus was in Martha's house. Mary was there with Jesus. Martha received him as a guest. Mary received him as a teacher. Mary sat at his feet. And back in the day when there was a quote, let me just read this quote, and then I'm going to end because I feel like I'm all over the page. I'm concerned. I want to honor the time here. Back in the day, there was rabbinic teachings. Because in Jewish's day, they had rabbis. Rabbi was the teacher, Rabboni, rabbi. So they would say Rabboni Jesus or Rabboni, you know, Tom or whatever. And there was a phrase that said, let your house be a meeting house for the wise, powder yourself in the dust of their feet, and drink their words with thirst. And what that speaks of is that when you're in the house and you're reading the Bible, and we're going to put it in our day, you're reading the Bible, it says, powder yourself with the dust of the feet, that when the rabbis would walk back and forth and the students would be sitting right by the rabbi as he walked back and forth, they were so close to that rabbi teaching that the rabbi would literally kick dust on top of those who were sitting. Like, take for instance, oh, you put your shoes on. Okay, if there was like dirt right here and dust, you know, and I'm walking around him, you know, there'd be pretty enough. I'm teaching and he's sitting there, you know, at my feet listening to him. He's so close to me that dust gets on his feet. And that's what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be a people in our home, in our context, that when we're reading the Word of God, we actually take time to sit and listen. We take time to apply it to our lives. You know, when you read the Word and when you listen to Pastor Billy and Mandy speak, you know, if you don't apply that Word, you know what that's called? Religion. It's called religion. You're doing the same thing. You're sitting in this maroon chair. You walk through that door. You grab that donut, that coffee. You eat it really quick. You sit in this chair. You listen to the thing. And you walk right back out that door and do nothing with what you heard. That's religious. It means you do the same thing over and over and over. But when you come in and you take the Word and you actually apply it to your life, that's called application. That's called transformation. God's not looking for a group of religious people. And this is no knock on the Catholic Church. Now, listen, I was Catholic. And I remember I dealt with the depression. My mom's like, well, you got to go to church. I'm like, Mom, honestly, if I'm depressed, I'm suicidal by the time I leave that church. Because I realize there is no hope for me. It shouldn't be that way in this house. You have the living Word. And I'm going to tell you something. The Word works. It works. Okay, so I want to pray over you, and then I want to pray over Billy and Mandy. So if this, I know this is a really, like, a surface word. If you want more, stay for the next service. You get yourself another donut and another cup of coffee. I'm sure that they would love to have you here. But I'm going to pray, okay? Just however you receive the Word, you can open your hands, your palms, whatever. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that this is an hour and a season where you're causing the people to step into new places of intimacy with your Word. Lord, that you're calling them to break out of the orthodox box life has put them in, the systems and cycles that they've been a part of. Father, I thank you that this is a season where you're breaking them out of that box in Jesus' name, and you're causing them to come into a new place of application with the Word in the name of Jesus. You're calling them to come into a new place of transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.